You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. And I'm fully aware that my audio sounds probably a small bit muffled. We're going to muddle through and see if I can get this sorted. But Aston Villa versus Ajax on the horizon this Thursday. It is Tuesday today. And we're going to take a little look at it. We're going to see what we can get put together, I suppose, with regards to, because I know some people are very, very down after the weekend. It wasn't exactly the result anybody wanted, but there's only one way to get back up on the horse, and that's to get back up on the horse against Ajax this Thursday in a competition that we should be going all out to win, I think. Paddy, what do you think?
Well, we've got no choice to go and win it. We're under pressure now, and people are starting to extract the urine a little bit about what happened at the weekend and are gone in two-footed on tactics and stuff like that. So it's up to the maestro himself now to get us back on winning ways. We've gone through the whole group's games of six games without losing after a European game, and then we went and did it again, and we did it at the weekend. But it's going to be tough, you know. I do believe we'll win it. I do believe we've enough to win it, but we need to get the tactics spot on.
Never mind getting the tactics spot on. I need to get this bloody setup spot on.
Well, you disappeared there, and I was rambling.
I know. I can't get. Everything isn't playing ball at the moment, and it should play ball. That's my problem, and I'll get it.
So, yeah, I can't hear you.
So this is going to have to do. But yeah, you're right. There's no. Can't hear me now.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Don't be playing with my heart.
Relax, would you?
I'm in better form already as it is. I know you could. You probably couldn't hear me there. But there's no other way to get back up on the horse, as we said, than to go out and beat Ajax. You know, and like, Unai Emery has said previously, you know, when we've had injuries and stuff like that, that there is a no excuse culture within the club, or he tries to make it a no excuse culture. And we don't have any excuse for, you know, some of the performances that were there at the weekend. So I'm sure the players won't be allowed to make excuses. I'm sure there won't be any excuses made. It would be a case of, you didn't play well, we didn't play well, we can see the poor goals here, and we were punished for it. And that's what happens, you know. And, you know, and I hate making it about, like, you know, we're not an alpha male podcast, if you know what I mean. I think it's pretty okay to say that, as in, but what I'm going this way is that, like, you know, if you want to be a man about the situation, you kind of take it in the chin, you turn around, you go, all right, you know, I got to be better. And there's a bigger prize at the end of this, you know, there's a big prize this Thursday, and hopefully there'll be a bigger prize towards the end of the end of the Premier League season. And you know, that's, I'm sure, what's been echoing around the corridors of Baltimore Heat, you know, over the last couple of days, and will be over the next couple of days as well prior to the match, that, you know, you don't get too down and you don't get too low in the lows, you don't get too high in the highs. Unai Emery has been trying to do that all season, but that, look, we're the seventh best team in the league. Essentially, he's been saying that he thinks we're outperforming where we should be at the moment. I don't think he believes that for one second, but still, he's been saying it. And one way to go out and show it is that one way to go out and to prove him wrong, essentially, is to go out and win this game at the weekend and then get back up on the horse again with West Ham this coming weekend too. So, it's going to be a week of redemption, hopefully, Paddy, we see.
Well, it's a pivotal week in the season. If we go out of Europe and then don't beat West Ham at the weekend, the negativity just grows and grows. And whoever is feeding Jamie Carragher his information about his tactics, because I refuse to believe he's intelligent enough to do all that himself. But this kind of stuff feeds into the media, and
I didn't watch that what you said, Paddy, because.
I turned it off too because I looked at half of it and I went, well, he didn't fucking work this out for himself. So it's not even that he didn't work out,
it's that none of it is news.
But it's not news.
And he's saying Villa fans should be worried. None of it is news to Villa fans, you know. And plus, where was all the breakdown of the play when Villa were flying it?
Exactly. We weren't even fucking mentioned. That's what annoys me.
Anyway.
We don't need the likes of Jamie Carragher, who, and all those other failed managers that are on the TV to be telling us how good or bad we are. We know, we see it every week. They don't bother their arse. They're too busy watching the Greedy Six. So I it just annoyed me to see him break down what Unai Emery's doing and compare it to what happened at Arsenal. We're still probably ahead of schedule if we got into even Europa League next season. So We've just got to have a bit of faith, and you know more than anybody else about that I've got faith, because my flights to Athens are booked and I'm going regardless, and I believe we can get there, and I hope when I walk out of Villa Park on Thursday that I'll be walking out with a big smile on my face, and I'm looking forward to another tie in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason. Like, guys, put it all in perspective here as well. Ajax drew 2-2 with Fortuna at the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
A team, I think, because I watched the game and Ajax just owned the ball, but they couldn't do much about it. Brian Brobbey came off the bench and scored. Kenneth Taylor scored as well. But Fortuna scored an absolute belter of a first goal, and the second goal was just one where it deflected off one of the Ajax centre halves, Kaplan. And I think it was Kaplan anyway. And then striker ran in, tapped it into the back of the net, you know. So, like, they looked incredibly average when they didn't have the ball. Ajax did at the weekend. But, you know, they had 72%, I think, of the possession. So they're not going to have 72% of the possession against Aston Villa during the week or at Villa Park. I know people would say, well, you know, Villa didn't play great at the weekend and Villa didn't play great against Ajax either. But Villa have this knack of being able to put bad performances out of the back of their mind. You know, they have this knack of being able to do it. They've done it quite a lot this year, and I expect them to do it on Thursday night. I've always expected Villa to go to Amsterdam and have a tough game and come back and to win it at Villa Park. So I don't expect anything less. You know,
The first leg went exactly as we expected. We spoke after the game on the post match, and it was exactly how I thought the game would transpire. It was a workman performance without breaking sweat, and we got the job done. We just needed to get back out of there unscathed. It was just, I think the narrative at the moment is a little bit different because of what happened at the weekend. We were expecting an all guns blazing performance at the weekend, which didn't come. And as a result, people are hurting, and you're allowed to be hurt. Absolutely allowed to be hurt. The performance, the result, did not bother me as much at the weekend as the fact that we're going to lose John McGinn for the next three games. that's what's really hurting me this week and really annoying me. But the performance can always be tinkered with and bettered. And I believe 100% wholeheartedly that we have a manager capable of getting the team up for Thursday and getting them up again for Sunday. And I think by the time we sit down on bank holiday Monday and overlook the 4 days previous, I think we'll be happy enough. I do believe that. Now, over to you guys on the pitch to go and do the first half of the job, which is Thursday. I would imagine there's going to be a few wounded hearts in that dressing room as well. There's going to be a few people looking around for answers. And you know what? The answers are in their own head. They need to go and do their own job and do their own job properly that they've been told to do. And once we do that, and once the tactics are right, because, you know, I think a lot of it at the weekend is on Unai Emery. Not all of it is on Unai Emery, but I think we got the tactics wrong. I think we were too defensive. We showed them way too much respect. I don't believe we're going to see a performance like that on Thursday night. I think Villa Park is going to be rocking. I think an 8 o'clock kickoff under the lights, the fireworks, everything will be going for it on Thursday night. There'll be a good atmosphere from the away fans. And they're going to put it, like, I believe that they rested Brobbey at the weekend to have him at full tilt.
Oh, yeah.
They're in danger of missing out on Europe. So winning this thing could be their last chance to get into Europe, because their league position is you know, well, their form is very up and down. They fought back into a potential European slot, but their form is just too up and down to stay where they are. So they believe that if they got a decent run, I bet you that they were really pissed off that they got Aston Villa so early in this competition, because they would have fancied their chances on a one-off game as opposed to a two-legged affair. But look, we still got to go and beat them. But I do believe we have enough, both on and off the pitch, and the fans are going to really be involved in this game of the weekend, and that will hopefully spur us on to get into the quarterfinal.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, we're not going to overlook any game. We're certainly not going to overlook this one. But, you know, you mentioned about Bobby being rested. I think he probably was. But at the same time, I think I read some statistic as well. The Fortuna Sittard haven't, I think they've only like picked up like 4 points in Amsterdam in like 15 years or something like that. Like they rarely get anything in Amsterdam, and they got a point at the weekend. So, and to be honest with you, They didn't really bench that many other players. You know, they had a pretty full team. Like Jordan Henderson was man of the match. They played Hilson on the right hand side of the front three. They played Chuba Akpom up top. They played on the left hand side. Then I think it was Kenneth Taylor. You know, so all the names that we've seen ourselves. Gerald Hatto played. Kaplan, goalkeeper. Played goalkeeper's caught badly at his front post for Fortuna's first goal, albeit it was an absolute rocket of a shot, but like he still got beat at his near post. And that once again, I think Aston Villa are going to need shoot on Thursday, because it's something that I feel about this team. We cut it back to the penalty area way too much. Sometimes have a speculative pot shot. If the keeper saves it, goes out for a corner. Well, then it saves it and goes out for a corner. You know, sometimes you cut it back to the penalty spot. If a defender is there and gets it, it can start the counter-attack, you know. So I think sometimes a shot can be warranted. And I think we should shoot an awful lot more. But hey, anybody who watches this podcast will know that that's my mantra anyway.
We don't do it simply because we don't get the opportunities. We're hitting the teams, perceived bigger teams than us. We're hitting them on the break. And we're hitting into congested areas when we're playing against the lower teams who are parking the bus. So we're not playing the type of open, expansive games that allows us to shoot from distance. But it's a cup game, so we should see more of that at the weekend. I would imagine that it will be end to end for as long as whoever stays in the game or whoever has the fight still has a fire in their belly for the fight. But I do believe we've got enough. We've got no firepower. We've got Dougie Louise who can shoot from distance. We've got Tielemans who can shoot from distance. McGinn, obviously. So there's definitely players there that can do it. Whether he likes them doing that, I'm not so sure. But I think a lot of that is down to the fact that, you know, as I said, it's either hitting them on the break or a congested penalty area, which is not worth shooting through.
I think, yeah, and I can't disagree with that as well. Dennis White says here as well, if Villa win on Thursday, the home game versus Bournemouth will be moved. Yeah. We have taken that into account. And the reason that I bring that up is because, as you guys know, or as regular watchers of the podcast know, I don't get over to Villa Park as much as I would like. Two little small little human beings that are under my care in the last 2.5 years have put pay to that. But I am going over to Villa Park on the 19th of the weekend and the 19th of April. And that's going to coincide with something that we announced a while ago with regards to a live podcast we're going to do in the Aston Inn in Birmingham, obviously. And tonight, a lot of people have asked us when tickets are going on sale. Tickets are gone on sale as of 5 minutes ago. Tickets have gone, or 2 minutes ago, should I say. Tickets have gone on sale on Yapsody. If anybody is interested or anybody would like to come and see it. We haven't announced any of our special guests yet. But they will be announced in the coming days. But if anybody wants to come and see us, there should be a tweet gone out right now that you guys will be able to see. And there's a link in there if anybody wants to purchase any tickets for it. So, yeah, there we go. A lot of people have been asking for asking for it when the tickets are on sale. And they're on sale as of now. And so if you want to get them, go get them. And that would be before the Bournemouth game, but the Bournemouth game would likely be moved to a Sunday if we do win, which is absolutely fine. The gig we'll have will be on the Friday night, and then we'll have Saturday to recover and not be hungover, and still then end up managing recover. To be hungover for the match.
Recover.
And recover, and then still manage to be hungover for the game anyway on Sunday. Because if somebody
is coming to the podcast on the Friday night, they're more than welcome to join us on the Saturday, because we will have another session on the Saturday, and we'll have plenty of fun and frolics. I said frolics on the Saturday as well. Yes. So bear with us, and we'll make a weekend of it, and we'll have obviously the Bournemouth game will be on the Sunday, but we've got to do our job on Thursday night to make sure that that's going to be an epic weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be my birthday as well that weekend. So that's why I'm getting the chance of getting the hall pass to go over. And it's Chad's birthday from the Villa Forever podcast. It's his birthday tomorrow. He's going to the game on Thursday. It's going to be a nice birthday present if we win. When we win, Chad, when we win. That's the birthday spirit you need to have, is when we win on Thursday night. It's going to be a great present for you. But happy birthday. Happy early birthday to you, Chad. And I hope you get absolutely spoiled, man, because do great stuff on your podcast. And for anybody who doesn't know of Chad's podcast, it's the Villa Forever podcast. Please give it a look as well. Going back to the game, Paddy, do you think it's just going to be a simple case of young teams stepping in for John McGinn?
I had a heated discussion with a good friend of mine today. It got heated, yeah, because he thought I was way off the mark with this now, right? But just bear with me. I, as a fan looking from the inside in, I'm not totally sold on Tim Irigbunam just yet. I think he's loose with his tackling, he's loose with his passing, and I think he's had a decent sample set to have a look at him and make his decision on it. I have a sneaky suspicion that should Sunday rock around, that it might be Clement Longley that plays in there.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No. No, and I do think you're wildly off the mark. And I do, because I do think that, like, I'd nearly go so far as to say if Clement Longley plays as defensive midfielder on Sunday, that I'm donating 50 quid to the Aston Villa Foundation. I'm not sure that would be what happened. No, could be wrong.
The guy who I had with the debate with kind of agreed with me that we would play a midfield or a defender in there.
Yeah, he just went, not Clement Longley.
He was going for Diego Carlos. But
he's way further off the beaten track. That's bonkers.
And I think it was because
Mr. Unknown Man.
I think it was because we both agreed that we couldn't take Pau Torres out of the position that he plays in because he just does too much for us. But a lot of people will say Pau Torres has played in that position, not lots of times, but he has done in the past, and he would be the obvious choice. But I'm a little bit cagey on Tim Iragbunam being elevated to that position of starting in a Premier League game and a vital Premier League game at that. So if it's not going to be a defender, it'd more than likely be Tielemans, I think, than playing. Now, I know people don't want that. I think we saw at the weekend the goal that was given away because Tielemans was left facing his goal, albeit a bad pass. But I just can't see it just yet. I just think he's a little bit raw to be playing in there.
And this is where the three at the back come, the 3/5 at the back, you know, that's where that's going to come from, because that's one way of making sure that the six doesn't have to be a massively defensive six, you know, and that's why he would have played it at the weekend potentially. Well, it's not because McGinn would be there, but that's why he might play it going forward. And I've never been averse to the 3/5, whatever you want to look at it, the 3/5 at the back. Never, ever, ever. Go back to the Dean Smith days. Look back to the early days of the podcast and Dean Smith's days. When I think we did get beat by Chelsea. I think it was one of the first on location podcasts I did for a team sheet tantrum out the back of Mike the Pies pub in Listowel about 3 years ago. And we did get beat that day. But I always think, and I'm not averse to three at the back, provided that you go at it full throated. You know, it's hard to change mid season towards a three at the back. I will grant that, and that's obvious. You know, I think a lot of people will agree with that. But I think there's more potential of a three/5 at the back again than there is of I see Konsa central defensive midfielder. Not going to happen. I see Chambers. I can't see Chambers happening there either. I can't see him putting a defender into that position. And if he does, it's probably only going to be Chambers because he will keep his rotation in the center halves the way that they are. I suppose really, if you put Truth Serum in front of Brain Trust, would they have kept, if they knew that something like that McCamara was going to get injured, would they have kept Leander Ndonka around? Absolutely, they'd say 100% they would have kept him around. But you know they didn't, and he's down at Napoli, and he's only playing sporadically as well, I think, from what I remember. So the club do need to get money back in that instance as well. Could Cash play as a six?
He has done.
He has done
previously in his career at Forest. He has done.
It's going to be Dougie playing further back, and Tielemans is going to play further forward. And I think he throws Tim in there.
Yeah.
I think he has to.
Well, there's another trail of thought is that, look, maybe it's time to put him in there and say, there you go, son, sink or swim, and give it your best shot. And maybe he feels there's enough talent around him to allow him to do it. But I am just that little bit sceptical that he's ready at the level. It's just the importance of the game is worrying me.
I don't think there's going to be this band-aid fix of throwing somebody into that central defensive midfield position. It just doesn't suit an Unai Emery thought process for me. For somebody who's so methodical, like for me, that would be a real dice throw to go, oh yeah, let's play Matty Cash inside there. I think probably if we are looking at something, I think it's probably Tielemans plays in an eight, Douglas Luiz plays as a six, maybe Jacob Ramsey goes into that 10 role behind Ollie Watkins, maybe Jacob Ramsey comes into that midfield role, into the eight role, and Tielemans stays forward, and he plays Zaniolo out wide left, or he plays Diaby out wide left, and Bailey wide right. I think there's probably more chance of something like that happening, just like rearranging the deck chairs as opposed to
as opposed to changing them completely. But yeah, I don't subscribe to the centre half stepping into midfield piece because I think it's more plausible that he plays three at the back than doing that.
Well,
but we could all be wrong. And he could play Robin Olsen in there.
Yeah. Look, I don't expect him to reinvent the wheel. It obviously makes sense for him to put Tim in there after giving him the amount of time that he already has. It just comes down to the brass tacks of, does he actually trust him to start a game in there of the magnitude that it's going to be? Whatever about the game that we're not expecting to win in against Man City, if we can go and win the two games before Man City, given that we won't have John McGinn, I think that puts us in an unbelievable position heading into the final stretch.
Yeah, and like if you think of it this way as well, I guarantee you watch back every single Manchester United podcast from probably October or September when Kobbie Mainoo makes his debut. And I think everybody's saying, I don't know, is he ready? Is this a panic? Is this it? What is it? Yeah. And for the first couple of games, he was grand. He treaded water. Yeah, he had people playing alongside him that were well able to play the game of football. They could mind him or whatever. And now he's come into his own. Tim's only started one game for the club, you know, and he's come on in fits and starts. So, you know, maybe the only way to get him ready is to just throw him into the fire and see what you have. Like, obviously, as you say, it's not ideal with City coming up, but I prefer him to have 90 minutes against Wolves, 90 minutes against West Ham, 90 minutes against Ajax before he plays against City. And then if he can't, then you try and figure out what you're doing against City. But I think it just makes too much sense. You know, Unai is on record as saying that Tim is going to be the man that's going to be in there instead of Dendonker. So, you know, he doesn't say things flippantly, if you know what I mean. So I think it's just going to be Tim.
Yeah, just a boy. Kieran says the link isn't working.
shite, anyway.
You've just told 300 people and everybody on Twitter that it was working. Anyway.
Event details, yeah. It says it's only for presenters only. Look at me. Well, Paddy, Phil for me there and I'll get this.
Phil for you there. Have you anything starred that I need to talk about? No.
No, just talk about John Duran. That usually goes.
Talk about John Duran. There's not enough to say about John Duran.
Do you think he'll get a run Thursday night?
I think it depends on where we're at in the fixture, whether he comes on or not. I think if we've the game sewn up, he takes off Ollie Watkins and lets him go in there and fill his boots. But that will all come around to that. Time will tell. I'm not sure he completely sold on John Duran either. Or even if he's back to full fitness, and that's why he didn't come on at the weekend, because I think at 2-0 down at the weekend to throw him on and just cause absolute carnage up there would have been the way to go. But he could give a right wobble to Ajax if needed. And to see out the game, no better man to be throwing himself about and jumping in front of buses and trains and everything for the cause, let's say.
Exactly. Yeah, for the cause indeed. I've updated a link on that there for those updated link. Let me know if this works.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Du-du-du-du.
Anyway.
Yeah, hopefully that one works there. Should be up. Yeah.
Tickets all sold out, maybe, Mark says.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
That would be absolutely fantastic if that was the case. I need a producer. I need a producer for stuff like that. We need to get to the height, to the heady heights of the Villa View. Or sorry, the podcast formerly known as the Villa View, should I say, the 1874, and get a producer on board, because either that or I need to get some sort of like that. What's your man's name from Spider-Man? The fellow who's got like Doc Ock or Doc Octopus or whatever. He's got all the different mechanical arms. I need to get one of those going, because between my internet not working, between my microphone not working when we started, between my camera then deciding it didn't want to work, all because my internet isn't working, I need to get one of these Zen moments very, very quickly. But we should be ready. We should be up and running again with regards to that. John Duran, Paddy. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about John Duran is because I think that, like, a lot of people, sorry, I don't think. A lot of people were saying that Ollie Watkins looked leggy at the weekend. Last 20 minutes, we didn't have an Ollie Watkins replacement to bring on. John Duran is now back from injury. He's on the bench. He was on the bench the weekend. He's likely going to be on the bench on Thursday night. Do we see him getting back to his 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes a game kind of cameos he was having prior to the injury / meltdown / whatever conspiracy whatever theory you want to talk about / being sat down? There's a lot of conspiracy theories went around about John Duran. I see somebody asked about if would we sell him for 30 or 40 million in the comments. I'd sell any backup striker for 30, 40 million. I think we'd be absolutely nuts not to sell him for that. But he could go on to be one of the best strikers in the world. But I think where we are at the moment and the return we're getting from him, I think we'd be insane not to sell him for 40 million. But that's not to say that I want to sell him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where do you think he fits in the run-in from here on, Paddy?
Well, before you go any further, I would like to say that I don't agree that Ollie Watkins looked leggy at the weekend. I thought he was playing way too deep for us to have him inflict himself on the game. And then a couple poor decision-making, like, I know the one was offside, but what was he doing passing to Leon Bailey in that position? And the one where he took it from his left foot onto his right foot rather than just putting his laces through it, which is what it needed at that stage. So the only two chances he really got, it was decision making that came down to it. But I think they played a really high line, which doesn't suit his game. Well, he's pacey over 20, 25 yards, half the pitch against Mickey van der Ven for half the game as well. And by the time he went off, we were 2-0 down then after 3 or 4 minutes after he went off. So I don't agree with that. But look, John Duran, similar to Tim, he's raw, but you can be a lot more raw up there than you can holding and being trusted to hold the central midfield. If John Duran just goes missing up there or goes flying into a challenge and is left sitting on his arse, there's plenty of cover. If Tim does it, it's a completely different story. So it's a different argument. But look, he has shown he can put the ball in the back of the net. He has shown he can throw himself about. He's well capable of mixing it up with the bigger fellas on the pitch. Just get him out there in his big boy's pants and stop him open about and just put the ball in the back of the net and do what we brought him to do if he gets his opportunity. Fingers crossed it will come to that. But I would much prefer us to have that backup striker that costs us just shy of 20 million and does well when he comes on, then have to sell him and go looking for a replacement, which is really difficult in the current climate. Mm. So as you can see, when we spend 50 million on the Abbey, who hasn't exactly set the world on fire just yet, the jury is still out with a lot of people on him, but we have to give him the time that we gave Leon Bailey, because look how well he has done since. Another man who suffered a bit at the weekend with the different system. So hopefully we just
you brought up the Diaby thing. And I know the eye test, the Abbey doesn't look like this, that, or the other, but when you stack his numbers up against, and if he's getting these numbers while playing poorly, and look, I'm not here to say he's playing well before anybody says the Abbey's shite or whatever. I'm not here to say he's playing well. And we can all agree that he hasn't, like, he started off like a runaway train, first couple of games of the season, was outstanding, was running around, was brilliant. Now he looks like a smaller player on the field, if that makes sense. But his assist numbers, his carry numbers, all this kind of stuff, they're pretty decent. Like, they're pretty decent. So the output he's putting out there is pretty decent in limited minutes.
And imagine if he starts to do that while gelling with the team a bit more, while not getting knocked off the ball as much as he is, learning how to maybe manipulate his body. It took Emi Buendia a while to do this as well in the Premier League, and for another smaller stature player. But that's where, and I'll always be a glass half full guy. I know my frailties and my failings. You know, I'll always be glass half full. But that's something to bear in mind, that he's not looked like the player that we thought he looked like at the start of the season. But also, these output and these numbers for the limited cameo performance he's had are pretty decent. And I think that Unai is managing him in much the same, if not exactly the same way that he managed Leon Bailey previously as well. So, I'm very much a watch this space guy and Moussa Diaby at the moment, for sure. And you know what? I think he might even start on Thursday night. I think he might start.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We'll I take it we're not going to see Jacob Ramsey either. Judging by what's been said, so we'll have to plan without him for a few weeks as well. So is that an opportunity for Morgan Rodgers on Thursday, or does he go full tilt on Thursday? I think he has to go full tilt with.
Forgot all about Morgan Rodgers as well. I. There you go. Hey lads, maybe Jacob Ramsey comes into midfield. Remember we're talking about the team. Maybe Dougie drops back. Jacob Ramsey comes into midfield. Morgan Rodgers plays behind Ollie Watkins. I have a sneaking suspicion that's where they always wanted to play him anyway. Really interesting. Maybe you've got a Zaniolo, Watkins, Rodgers, Bailey kind of front four. You have Douglas Luiz. It's risky. Don't get me wrong. It's risky, but like if you want to go for it in a game,
yeah,
I think we might see that. During yeah.
I think the Zaniolo.
No, Zaniolo on Thursday as well. Actually, yes, I forgot about that. There is he's suspended, so.
But I think his ship has sailed for me at this stage. He just hasn't played himself into contention by any stretch of the imagination. So I would have to think that there would be other options when it came down to picking a team that he's not going to go with Zaniolo from the start at any stage unless we're really down to the bare bones.
Yeah, I think so too. Paddy, it's after 10 o'clock. I've been up since 6 a.m. with a screaming little girl who's got an ear infection. So I got to go to bed before I fall asleep. Keith Doherty, thank you so much for that. Tickets. Yeah, actually, Jesus, my phone is consistently lit up. Thank you so much to everybody for already got in there and buying tickets. This is going to be good crack. We've had a couple of good events previously and delighted to be able to just coincide one. And you know, I need to say it here, and I don't know if she's watching, but to Karen and the Aston Inn as well, thanks so much for the hospitality and, you know, for helping us out with getting this venue and stuff. So thank you so much and really looking forward to it now.
Yeah. Just gotta get the guests over the line now in the coming days, and then we can announce it to everybody. But the tickets are on sale. At least everybody is we'll be there and we'll have guests of some sort and we'll have fun and we'll make it a good night, a good long night, hopefully. We'll be there early and we'll be we'll stay on stage for as long as you want us to stay on stage.
Paddy's saying we'll be there early. Paddy, we haven't booked flights yet. We might have to swim at this rate. If we actually stay on after this, we need to book flights. Well, I haven't booked flights. You're waiting, I'd say, to see till after Thursday night to see if you're going to book what day you're booking flights for. Yeah, I knew that one was coming. So we'll reconvene on that one. We'll reconvene on that one for sure. All right, that's going to do it here for us today, I think, everyone. We'll be back again Thursday for a Team Sheet Tantrum. Team Sheet Tantrum mightn't be at our normal bang on when the team sheet comes out for Europa League. It might be slightly after that. I'm traveling work on Thursday, and so it might be like 7 o'clock as opposed to 10 to 7. So just look out on social media for that. But I'm looking forward to that Team Sheet Tantrum.
I have a really late flight into Birmingham after work, so I will struggle to get onto a Team Sheet Tantrum.
That's even fine. We'll get it done.
It's a whistle stop tour of Birmingham on Friday, and I've got to be back for work on Thursday and back for work on Friday morning. So it'll be probably the shortest amount of time I ever spend in Birmingham itself.
That's okay too, Freddie. That's okay too. But listen, thanks ever so much, everybody. As I say, I'll fix that link there on the tweet if anybody is interested.
I will pop it out again. And thanks so much to all of you who've bought tickets. I think I just saw Rachel said she bought 5 tickets already. Thank you so much, Rachel. As I say, you always pop up in the comments, so really appreciate that. But yeah, we'll see you on Thursday anyway, everybody, for Team Sheet Tantrum. Sleep well tonight and don't be worrying about who's going to replace John McGinn. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.